Warning, the following program is intended for sales professionals and sales professionals only. If you're easily offended or just bitch in general, this show is not for you. Now that's out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the week again. Get your attitudes in check, your shit together, and get ready to take your sales game to the ultimate level. The Rockstar Closer Radio Program is broadcasted by salespeople for salespeople. You'll find no BS here, just straight talk from sales pros winning on the front lines every day. Now, without further ado, here he is, the man, the badass, the closer, the coldest salesman of our generation, Ryan Stuman.
I was explaining the other night, I don't know exactly where I was, but I was with my girlfriend, and I was explaining to her that this is like an important song because a lot of people that are famous, like Mike Tyson and Chuck Liddell, have come out to this song. And then knock the motherfucker out, right? Like, they listen to this song, and this song from DMX is so powerful, and it's just the intro to his album, but it's so powerful that they've literally used that song as motivation to walk in a ring and beat motherfuckers within an inch of their life. So I think it's just pretty cool and fitting, and I never really talked about that. That's why I chose it to be the thing that we listen to get all pumped up here for the Rockstar Closer Radio Show. And in case you didn't catch the intro, I'm your host, Ryan Stuman. Super excited to be here. I've got an awesome guest today as well. I actually got two guests because I'm playing dad at home today, and you might hear the kid from time to time at the studio because the Stuman house is packing up. Because the Stuman house is packing up, and the thing is, we got, you know, kids running around in the house, toys everywhere. We try to pack toys up. Kids just unpack the toys. So in Memorial Day for me, it's going to be memory of moving again, and this is actually crazy. It's the fourth time I moved in the last 9 months, and I can't seem to get situated where I want to be at. I keep paying my bills, y'all. I'm not getting kicked out. I just keep escalating things, I guess. So that being said, we got to pay some bills first. There's a few ways that we pay bills here. First way is we ask that if this is your first time here, it's awesome. We're super glad to have you. Probably somebody cool that you know invited you here, and there's a reason that they invited you here is because they thought you'd fit into our community perfectly. So all we ask is that if you like what you listen to today, that you share it with somebody, right? That maybe you forward it to a friend, a coworker, somebody that you know that's in sales that could benefit from this as well. You can give them the link to iTunes. You can go to rockstarcloser.com, however in the world you found this, share it on Facebook, put it on the carrier pigeon, message in a bottle. Doesn't matter, but if you like what you hear, we just ask that you share it. The other thing is, stay on till the end. You know, it's, there's nothing worse than you missed out on the good part. And I'm not saying that it's all bad until the end, but what I am saying is I've been to plenty of seminars in my life where I've sat there and I've known the exact same thing. I've already known the knowledge that they were sharing the entire time, but the last phrase that they said changed my perception of one thing, which allowed me to change my business, my life, my something, and make it dramatically better. So I always feel like I've gotten my money worth everywhere I go, at least if I just take one thing away from it. So today on the show, how will you know if you can't take, if you do know everything that we talk about today, but you don't stay on to the end, how do you know that you didn't miss something? You never will, right? You never will. So don't have any regrets when it comes to missing out. Now, the way that we pay bills around here is I sell a lot of stuff, right? Like I got digital programs that can help a lot of sales professionals, whether you're an insurance salesperson, whether you're a real estate agent, whether you're a loan officer, whether you're a business consultant, or whether you're in phone and text sales. Doesn't matter. I've got a product for you. Now, all you've got to do is you can go over to hardcorecloser.com, and you can actually go to /blog if you want to get creative, or you can just pick the blog tab right there at the hardcorecloser.com website. And there's a tab there on the blog that says, buy my shit. And you can look right there. You can opt in and get a bunch of free videos to a bunch of cool stuff. But it's full disclosure. All the price tags of everything that I sell is right there. You can figure out how much this is. I've got shit from $27 on up. So just depends on what you're specifically looking for. It's priced accordingly to how quick of an ROI I think I can get according to how much information investment in yourself and implementation. So I think that you'll find whatever level that you're playing on right now, if you're looking for a little bit more, if you're looking whether it's an introductory to the shit that I teach or looking for something that is like a full-on scale Breakthrough Academy digital type program, you can find out all about it right there hardcorecloser.com/blog. Just hit the buy my shit tab and bam. All right. So that's how we pay bills around here. Looks like I nailed them in 5 minutes. Y'all, I'm getting better at this stuff, right? That's what happened. See, got a little rusty. Now here I go. I'm going to take the 10 minutes again. But I got a little rusty because, you know, I didn't do these but once a quarter. But now that I've been cranking them back out, got another group of guests coming on in the future as well. So I've got at least the next 5 weeks where I plan on promoting these as well. So the next 5 weeks, Fridays at 11 a.m. Texas time, y'all. So my guest this week, I've actually known him for quite a while. Maybe it hasn't been that long. Sometimes you think that you've known somebody for quite a while, but you just have a connection, or you run into them often, or you frequently communicate with them, so it makes you familiar with them maybe more than you are. But I feel like I've known this guy for a really long time. I've spent a lot of time personally with him, not just in some of the life-changing events that we've attended together, but also some of the times that we've had good times and just kind of hanging around different, seminars and things of that nature. So really great guy, and I'm excited to have – I call him Jim, but, if we're going to be all professional and everything, it's my buddy James P. Friel. Hi, James. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad we're keeping it professional today.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. There shall be.
Good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. Thanks for taking some time to come to hang out with us today, man. I thought it would be awesome to get you on here because I like the way that your brain works, and a lot of us in the sales world are like missing that part of the equation. So I figured you could really share some of your expertise and benefit us in more ways than one, really. So thanks for coming and spending some time with us today, man. If you don't mind, though, take like, 3 to 5 minutes, kind of tell us a little bit about your background, introduce yourself to the audience so they kind of know who you are and everything else, man, and just kind of give us the 50,000-foot view of Jim. James.
Yeah, please, Ryan, please keep it professional today. Like, when you have other guests on, it's totally okay if you want to let it slip. But with me, you've got to keep it professional. We can't have it.
The contract CEO. We've got to have, like, CEO-style professionalism here, right? Because we don't want the HR department involved.
No, we don't need to bring all sorts of lawsuits and legal action and be a whole pain in the ass. So let's just keep calling me James and we'll all be good. So I'm James P. Friel, contract CEO, and what I do is I help entrepreneurs create predictable and sustainable businesses through sales and marketing systems and a superior mindset. I've had a background. You're right, Ryan. It is different than a lot of the people that are in the circles that we typically run in. I started out as a rocket scientist, actually, as an aerospace engineer, and found my way moving into the direction of marketing and technology, and was in the corporate world for about 11 years. Ultimately, I was working at HSBC as a global head of digital strategy there, and had a really cool job. But I was like, you know what? I want more, and I think that's okay. And everybody who's in the sales world can kind of relate to that feeling of I want to take control. I want to feel like, you know, I'm creating my world. And so in 2011, I left my real cool job at the bank and decided to start a consulting firm. And so since then, I've been focused on working with small and mid-sized businesses predominantly to help them get systems in place that will allow them to scale in a predictable and sustainable way. Because, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is most entrepreneurs, it's like feast or famine. It's up months, down months. And, you know, they're happy that they have their independence, but they're also frustrated that things aren't as smooth sailing as they really want them to be. And, it doesn't have to be that way. It's just that's the way most people kind of come into this space and, you know, through trial and error and figuring things out. And so I help people think about problems better. You know, if I really want to put on a bumper sticker and say, all right, well, here's what we're trying to tackle and how do we do this in the best way so that we can, you know, create long-term profits and not just, you know, create some flash in the pan sales or something over the next couple of weeks, but how do we build a business that's going to be around for a while? And if you want to keep running it, way cooler to run a business that's predictable and sustainable than one that's choppy and unpredictable. And then a lot of people get tired of their business at some point. And if you haven't put some of these systems and this infrastructure and stuff like that in, you really don't have an asset. And so I help people understand how to build their business in a way so if they want to sell it or do something cool like that, then they can. because there's, you know, there's ways to do that, just like there's ways to do everything else. And so that's what I do, and I have a lot of fun with it. I find it, you know, extremely rewarding to help people go from something that's, you know, kind of hit or miss and not working well all the time to something that they can count on, and do it in a way that, you know, is totally true to who they are. So there you go. I don't know if that's a good description or if you want me to go into more detail on any of that stuff, but that's really what I'm focused on.
Really cool, man. I didn't know that you were a rocket scientist. That's some whole other, like,
yeah,
myself shit, yo. Like, we flew shit to the moon. Now, look, let me just look at your finances, and I can figure out, if I can figure out the calculation or whatever, I don't know, rocket scientist terminology, then for sure I can look at, you know, your million-dollar books here. We'll be all right. So that's really interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's you know, it was I've always liked planes, and so I was like, all right, I'm gonna go design planes, and it was and classes and stuff were really enjoyable and I liked it, but I'm more of a people person, and so I found my niche, you know, doing other kind of problem solving. But here's the translation that I've taken from all of that. Like, people think that business problems are like these big complex, like, oh my God, how are we going to solve this problem? And they make the problems bigger than they have to be. But one of the things I learned, you know, way back in the day when I was doing all that engineering stuff is that there was only one thing that separated the people who got really good at it from the people who weren't good at it and the ones who continued to be frustrated and get, you know, C's and D's and not be able to get the good jobs and things like that. And it was this: every problem is simply composed of a bunch of smaller problems put together. And the people who get good at solving problems are the people who can look at a big problem and then say, okay, how does this problem break down to the point in which I can actually wrap my head around it? It's not that anybody's necessarily smarter or better or anything like that. It's just, how quickly can I see this big problem that exists in my business or that I'm trying to work on and break it down into the bite-sized pieces that are required to actually put a plan together to tackle it, you know, and it's that skill.
So
that
wait.
People.
So how do you do that? That's I never thought of it that way. So what kind of indicators, types of things do you look for to recognize those smaller problems and be like, because we all know what the big problem is. A lot of times we don't know how the hell to solve it. That makes a lot of sense. Having the ability to solve the smaller problems, but how do you locate what they are that leads up to it? So where do you find the pivot before the avalanche?
Well, you know, the funny thing is the first thing to doing that is acknowledging that that's generally how problems work. And even asking the question, like, if you have a big thorny problem or something that's causing a lot of issues and you're just trying to solve it directly, it's frustrating and you feel like you're pushing a car uphill. But if you take a minute and you step back and you look at this big problem that's standing in the way and you say, okay, well, what are the smaller problems? Even simply asking that question and getting a good dialogue about that, I think, is a fantastic start. And, you know, there's this problem solving kind of capability, it's a skill, just like sales, just like anything else. And you practice it, right? You just practice it, and you look for it everywhere, and you see that there's a problem, and you're like, okay, how can I break that problem down? And I think the only, you know, the leg up that I have in this problem-solving space is just I've done it so many times, right? Just like you've done so many sales calls and so many this and that, and it's like you practice that, and it's like going to the gym and working out that muscle. And solving problems and thinking strategically and thinking critically, it's just a skill that needs to be practiced. But if you don't even know that that's an option that's available to you, like, it's going to be way harder to make any progress.
Yeah, I had never thought of it that way, man. So that alone has opened my eyes to looking at things a lot differently than normal.
Awesome. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. There's no reason to make things work. Well, that's a wrap, and everybody who stayed till the end, I guess they got what they I guess they got the good stuff already.
But
yeah.
So that is, and you know, practice is apparent in a lot of things. Lately I picked up the guitar, and it's kind of a pain in the ass to you know, pick it up and want to sound like Metallica or whatever, but really sound like shit, nothing really, just sound horrible. So it's a real frustrating process to, I walk in here in my bedroom to get away from the noise, man. There's like handprints all over my wall of chocolate ice cream or something. I hope it's chocolate ice cream. Jesus Christ. Thank God I'm moving out of here.
Nice.
Good Lord. So anyway, but you know, you want to sound a certain way in the beginning. It's hard because you have to learn how to play like old ass country songs to be able to really pick up the keys and the tune and get to know everything. But man, I go out of town. I come back. I haven't played in 3 or 4 days. It's just like working out, like you said. So all of a sudden, I lost some of the gains that I had. It takes a little while to practice and get that back. So I could see practice locating the smaller problems.
Yeah, and you can knock down the smaller problems all day long. And I've been obsessed with habits and creating good habits, creating the habits that I want, and all that stuff. And I've been reading a ton of books and talking with a lot of my clients about this and implementing a lot of stuff in my own life and my own business. And you know, there's a couple key things. You know, we're talking about how to be a better problem solver, how to think strategically, and this goes for, you know, for training people in sales too. It's like you look at people who are good at something, and then you try it, just like you're saying with Metallica, and you learn to play some chords on the guitar, and you're like, man, I suck at this, and I mustn't be very good, because those guys are so much better, and here I am, and I suck. And what we don't see is the fact those guys sucked at one point too. And for whatever reason, when we get older, right, like we all grow up, or at least we think we do, and we think that we learn differently than when we were kids, right? And if people had this, if they were as hard on themselves when they were kids as they are now as adults trying to learn something new, we'd all be like military crawling all over the place, because we'd be like criticizing ourselves for falling down when we tried to stand up and walk. And a habit is simply something that you program in to yourself, and then you have to work to put that programming. It's like, you know, you're going to create a new program for your computer. You're going to like upgrade some software, right? You get this notification on your computer. It's like time to upgrade the software. And most of us are like dismiss, dismiss, dismiss until we have to do it. But when we do it, if we tried to like update like 10 different programs and an operating system and all this other stuff at once, like what happens to the computer? Like it crashes. Like
it says, fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. And we have the equivalent of a computer in our mind, and we're very unforgiving about how to program that computer. And the only way to really get good at something is to acknowledge that you're going to suck when you start, and that you're building a habit, and over time you're going to reprogram your computer to do whatever you want. So, you know, the one area that I've chosen to get really good at is problem solving, because there's plenty of problems to solve, and I really have a good time with that. But it's the same with any skill. And they say that there's three phases to creating a new habit. The first phase is it's going to suck, like no matter what it is. Like you're starting to work out again, it's going to suck. You're learning to play the guitar, you're going to suck. You're learning to sell things over the phone, you're going to suck. Then there's the second phase where you're kind of like, you're kind of able to do it, but kind of not. And so you're like in the middle, and you just have to motor through, because it's not a question of like whether you're going to get to where you want to go. As long as you keep at it and you keep learning and accepting feedback, then you'll get there. But holding yourself to some crazy ideal, like tomorrow, you know, today I just got a guitar, tomorrow I have to go, you know, play like Metallica, like it's an unreasonable expectation. That's why most people throw in the towel on stuff, because they just don't, their expectations are out of whack from the very beginning. And it's that way in business too, dude. It's like people are like, okay, I have this cool business idea, now I'm going to go out and tomorrow I'm going to make $1 million. It's like, no, you're not.
That's what we all think like is going to happen, right? But it's never.
No, and we get so upset, and we're like, shit, this idea sucks, and I'm not going to do it, and I'm not good enough, and we have all this like bullshit stuff. And then you like look back at, you know, you've got your son there, and you watched him, you know, grow up, right? And he didn't just pop out, start running all over the place. It's just not how it works, and we fight that. And when you finally just like, okay, well, if this is how things work, why don't I just reorganize the way I'm doing things to like align with that, so that I get the results that I want without feeling like shit the whole time.
Right. Yeah, you know, and but a lot of times people don't see you for a long time, and but it doesn't seem like a long time to them, and then they show up, and they see you, and it's like, wow, it's like everything happened overnight for you. You're like, no, bitch, I've been doing this shit for 5 years. 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, everything, yeah. You know, but it's funny, the flip side of that is everybody does think that things happen overnight because they just see somebody what they consider a short period of time later. And 5 years to somebody you haven't seen in a while, they think, man, time flies by. But meanwhile, when you're in the daily grind, it does not fly by.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, you and I have been out, and I've heard all your early days stories and what you were up to and all that stuff. And you're a total badass at what you do now. But, like, you had to go through a learning curve. We all do.
A really big one.
I can't wait to read all about it in your book. I'm dying to read your book, dude.
I was no rocket scientist. I promise you that.
Yeah. Well,
who
knows whether that's helpful or harmful.
Yeah, but I think I learned a lot of life skills along the way. Just the hard way. Just the hard way. Didn't Woody Harrelson have a movie called The Hard Way or something like that? Wasn't that like,
yeah.
He was a hard-headed dude, kept finding himself in trouble over and over again. Who knew? I grew up to be a character in a movie. Yeah, great. All right, so back to the show here. So you identify problems really well. The smaller problems, you're able to obviously solve these problems as well. But why do they call you the contract CEO? I always thought of it as like you're this guy who's really good at putting together contracts, but I have a feeling that's not necessarily the real reason why you have that name.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's because most small businesses, like the guy running the show, isn't running the show like a real CEO. That's the truth of it. He's running the show like an operator, like he's in the business, he's not working on the business. By and large, this is like an epidemic that exists in most small businesses, you know, everywhere, right? And this is how it happens generally. Somebody has a great idea, or what they think is a great idea, and then they run 100 miles an hour with that great idea. And while they're running, they completely burn out and they don't look at what's happening around them. And then they start saying, well, why am I not growing? Like, why isn't my business predictable at this point? Why isn't it sustainable? Why am I not getting the results that I want? And the reason is they're not running the business like a CEO of a big company would be running that business. See, that guy creates plans. He creates targets. He knows how to create a team around him to support him to help get that goal, and he's working on that business. And so the concept of the contract CEO is most small businesses can't afford to hire a full-time CEO, somebody who's going to come in and really help them analyze the business, to look at where they're going, to put a strategy in place to do it, and to make sure that they've got the systems and the infrastructure to make that happen. And so what I do is I simply come in like a contract CEO, like an outsourced CEO, and I work with the owner to help elevate his thinking to that CEO level so that he can really start planning his business and growing into the future that he wants, instead of just getting the results that he kind of gets haphazardly by, you know, mindlessly running in a hamster wheel day after day. So that's really what it is. I'm there to help elevate the thinking and to make sure that people are working on their business and still need to work in their business for sure, but it's like way more productive and way more effective if the things that you are working hard on are actually the things that are going to make a difference versus you're just like beating your head against the wall working really hard, because that doesn't really serve anybody.
No, and it'll eventually you'll do the thing like the computer does. You'll quit.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll just throw in the towel. You'll throw in the towel, and this is the other thing that happens. You throw in the towel thinking it was the business, and it's not. It's you. Like, the common denominator in all of the results that you get in your entire life, business or otherwise, is you. And so if you're like, well, it was that business idea sucked, I better move on to the next one, and that one sucked, I better move on to the next one, it's... And I mean, for sure, there are ideas that, you know, some are going to be more viable than others. Like, nobody's bringing back beepers, you know, because nobody uses them anymore. So that would be a sucky idea. But most business ideas are, they're just ideas, right? McDonald's doesn't make the best hamburgers in the world. It kind of tastes crappy, but they have a good business to support it. And so if you finally get to the point where you're like, well, maybe the problem isn't the idea, it's not the product, it's not this, it's the way that I'm showing up and the way that I'm managing this whole thing, then you can start to dig in and work on the real problem, which is what you're bringing to the table. And it's like, okay, well, now we can work with this. And that's been a lot of fun for me to, you know, be able to work with people who are like, well, my customers are the problem, or my product is the problem, or whatever. I'm like, you know what, like, maybe, but you're also the problem. And we need to adjust the way that you're...
No, it's
never me, right? Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, so... No, you've never caused any problems in your business, Ryan. Like, we know that.
No, man, if it
likewise,
wasn't for the associations that we belong to, I would have probably already burned this one down, and this is the most profitable one I've ever had.
Exactly. Like, you need – a lot of entrepreneurs, I think, almost need, like, insurance from themselves.
Dave, there we go. We just can't call it insurance, right? You can sell a protection plan. You just can't call it insurance without having to go through all the regulations. That's what we need to do. The entrepreneur protection plan, right? It's like,
there it is.
We look out for
yeah.
your dumbass when you're about to screw everything up. .com.
Yeah, the EPP. And here, sir, we're going to renew your EPP policy. Yeah, I like that.
That is a good idea because, I mean, a lot of us torch good businesses. Or we
yeah,
make bad,
for no reason.
Bad choices that torch those businesses when we could have they're trying to solve a big problem in this instance where we could have maybe solved some smaller problems that fixed it all.
Yeah, and there's like and the other thing that we tend to do if we don't really look at, you know, because this is the fundamental issue with not looking at stuff is you could be working on the wrong problem and spend a lot of time and a lot of money and all of that stuff instead of solving the problem that's actually going to be the one that makes a difference. And misidentification of the problem that needs to be solved is probably one of the number one reasons that most businesses don't work. Because they're off thinking, all right, we got to do some crazy, like, I don't know, social media strategy that doesn't even tie back to any kind of results. Like, we need a flashy new website, right? Like, how many times do people think they need to do that? And meanwhile, you're like, okay, well, where's the ROI on that? Like, why are we doing that? And they're like, I don't know. I wanted to do it. And the real reason they do it is why? Because I want to feel good because the rest of my business sucks. So maybe if I build a new cool website and a lot of people like it, at least I'll feel good about myself.
Right.
That doesn't make anybody any money. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and again, it comes down to having the right advisor in your corner too, right? Or maybe not even somebody who's been there and done there, but somebody who's not emotionally involved on the front lines every day, right? If you're a running back and you're consistently running down, you're not thinking like a quarterback, right? Thinking like a running back. So you got to have a quarterback as part of the team to coordinate where the hell you're going to run and how you're going to get there in the first place. So, hey, man, I think I just made a sports reference. That may have been the first time ever because I have no fucking clue how football works, but it seems like it works like that. See? For a minute
you're
there,
asking the wrong guy,
cool,
too.
But I just can't, like, sit here and act like I really know what's going on. But we got 90 seconds left in the show, my man. So if someone wanted to reach out with you, actually 60 seconds. How can they reach out? You got a website, find you on Facebook, Twitter. What's up?
Yeah, definitely. You can hit me up on my website. It's jamespfriel.com, F-R-I-L, jamespfriel.com. I'm on Facebook, James P. Friel on Facebook, James P. Friel on Twitter. So if you know how to spell my name, I'm not too hard to get a hold of. And if I could help you guys, you know, anybody listening, solve a problem in your business and help you take it to the next level, I'd love to have that conversation.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on here. I have some big takeaways myself, man, listening to you. You know, I'm sitting here, like, really going through everything. If I'm not talking too much, I'm really thinking about all the stuff that you say pretty hard because you had a lot of good content that we shared in a short amount of time. So maybe we'll have you come back on here. Maybe sometime in the future, and we'll readdress this as well, man, because it's a really interesting topic that, like I said, there's no other shows really addressing this stuff, and I know there's nobody really bringing this to that's not boring, right? There's plenty of people talking about how to do like CEO type shit. It's boring as fuck. At least you have a nice edge to it as well to keep us like enthralled in the why and all that. So I really appreciate you coming on here, man, and dropping some knowledge bombs with us. And I'll see you next time I get to Florida, probably. Which, matter of fact,
yeah, awesome, brother. I appreciate it, Ryan.
In 3 weeks. So cool, man.
Yeah,
have
dude,
a good,
let's hook up.
Day. And I'll catch you on the flip side, man. Thanks again.
Sounds good. Later.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening today. Like I said, you want to stay on to the end, so you can always take something away. Also, all I ask is that if you enjoy this, just like I said in the beginning, just share it, right? That's all I ask, real simple. And since I'm here with my son today on the way out, say, go close something.
Close something.
That's right, everybody. Have a good rest of the day, and thanks for listening.